This episode of Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie is very personal for me. I show pictures, I talk about my own journey, and I share with you what it's like living with a disease known as lipedema and the impacts of that in the workplace and in your own world. Now, I don't just take you on a journey on my own. I've actually brought two experts into this conversation because I think what's important to note is not only just that I have this disease that is misunderstood by so many. I mean, that's personally something that's important to me. But my guests today, Catherine Seo and Dr. Matthew Carmody, are the reason I'm able to walk right now. They actually took their own journey and have presenced their own learning out in the world, and my life is forever changed because of them. So I invited them for a real intimate conversation into this podcast, and we were very fascinated by two things: the personal journey of the patient and the journey of the physician trying to help the patient understand what's going on and actually work toward resolving, or may I be so bold as to say curing something. Now, here's what's interesting for leaders in tech. The whole conversation was about innovation. We talked about power dynamics, communication, empowerment, and innovation through the lens of their own journey as patient and doctor, but also the healthcare system and the systems that we're all living with and through in tech. And the pull through here had to do with the common framework that we all see that is so important in leadership today, and that is curiosity, and then unlocking the wisdom of the system, the wisdom inside the system, because we are no longer at a place where technical expertise makes you the best leader anymore. You can't possibly have all the answers because it's not just technical. So the conversation today, while we are exploring lipedema and we are shining a light on it, which to me matters, whether or not you care about lipedema, you don't want to miss this episode because we highlight some of the flawed thinking, the biases, the systemic issues that relate in tech just as they do in healthcare. And what'll happen when you listen in today is you're going to walk away inspired by what's possible, and also having some things that you can do right now to become a better version of yourself as a leader. And my highest hope, because that is really important, my highest hope is that you may even learn a little bit more about lipedema so that we can shine a light on a disease that is affecting 1 in 11 women worldwide, many of whom don't know what to do with it and don't even know they have it. So take a notepad, get a pencil, grab a pen. You are not going to want to miss this episode. It is chock full of inspiration, innovation, and practicality through the lens of disease and tech and how they come together from the standpoint of unlocking the wisdom in your organization and in your own body. Thanks for listening in. Welcome to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie, everybody. I have a question for you like I always do. And I think a lot about the systems that we're in right now when it comes to leading in tech, leading in our lives. And what I know is that the world is upside down. It feels like there's never enough time. And I think the pull through today on this conversation that's going to really land for everybody listening today is, what's that like when you have to go to the doctor because something's wrong? What do you do in that 15-minute window? Because the same things that you're going to do to leverage that time with your doctor, those also apply in your life as a leader in tech. And now it's not as simple as what I'm saying. We have a much more complicated topic today because we're really talking about changing a system and also advocating for our own needs as leaders and people in our own worlds. And I don't know how to describe how excited I am about this topic because it's actually very personal to me too. So I've brought on two experts to actually have a conversation with me today about how do you unlock wisdom in your community, in yourself, and how do you partner with people in power and in leadership to really get the results that are needed for you as an individual, for your organization, and for the world. You know, RLD Group, we talk about I, we, us, and we're going to take you down that path today. So Catherine Seo, Dr. Matthew Carmody, welcome to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's so wonderful to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled you're here. And I want to jump right in so that the listener really understands why this matters. I think the first thing I want to ask is, the topic at hand that we're going to talk about today has a pull through whether or not you have the illness we're going to talk about. It has a pull through whether or not you're leading in tech, because we all have a human body And we all have the system, which is our body. And one of the things I know is that in this upside down world, people are stressed, overwhelmed, chronic diseases everywhere. People are saying, get back to the office. And a lot of folks don't even know how to have the conversation to advocate for their needs. So I think one of the most beautiful things I've been inspired about by you two is what you've done to partner together. And so perhaps we just start with the story about how you got to know each other and what was the magic that unfolded and how you decided to go forward with your relationship, because this is a very big, profound moment in time that's changing the healthcare system and how we show up in our world.
I think I'll start and jump in. Dr. Carmody was referred to me by a nurse practitioner. She looked at me and she said, I think this doctor will be able to, you'll be able to work with this doctor because his reputation was that of kind, compassionate, and very knowledgeable. And at that point, which was almost 35 years ago. So I went to see Dr. Carmody, and we had quite a number of years before things were going awry. So I showed up at an appointment with and presented with uncontrollable swelling, weight gain that was not ascribed to lifestyle choices, bruising, and a number of other things that were a mystery. And it was a combination of looking for answers and trying to figure out, in a, as you say, in a healthcare system that knew nothing about what was going on with me. It ended up that I have lipedema. I have lymphedema as well. So I have both of the disorders. But it was through working with Dr. Carmody literally over years that together we discovered what was going on, because when we started with this, it wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Catherine, when you talk about that, I have such a deep, profound, I resonate so deeply because my audience knows that I have lipedema. And I presented with uncontrolled swelling and bruising and pain, and I didn't know what was wrong. And for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, the reason I figured out what's going on is in part because of the work you two did, and I found your website and I found your documentary, and I was so inspired. I just reached out and was like, I want to know more. And I think the thing that's so beautiful about this and the conversation we're going to have today is how many people, I mean, we'll talk about what lipedema is. But whether or not you have lipedema, you probably know someone who does, and or you might be managing or leading someone who does. And the thing that we should presence, I think, is the fact that when we are presented in a situation where we don't have the answers, the power is in actually partnering up and looking for the collective wisdom, not staying by ourselves and trying to figure it out by ourselves, because that's not the world we're in anymore. So I would love to just, Dr. Carmody, would you like to share your part of the story here with what Catherine just presenced, because it's very inspiring to me about how what you two have put together.
Sure. So as I remember it, I met this woman that, you know, was quite articulate and quite intelligent, and also had a condition that unfortunately I had a differential diagnosis for. I thought, well, it could be this, or that. And we became knowledgeable about what the symptoms were and what the examination was like. And then we actually engaged in a lot of testing to try to figure out what specific was occurring. And I had in my mind things that I thought could occur and that I identified that this was, you know, some kind of obstruction of the lymph system, and that we were on our way to try to figuring out what was the obstruction, where was it occurring. And we went through months of attempting to actually understand it. So I worked myself through all the things that I knew existed, and in fact, referred Catherine to people that might know more than I did. And the answer at the end was, we don't know. And that's, it's not that that's a common thing that happens, but it does happen. The not knowing at the end of a long road of diagnostic tests, but it certainly is a frightening moment or a frustrating moment, because in not knowing, we then did not know what to do. And this was a progressive problem. So at the end of that workup, then it was both facing each other and being honest about what we didn't know. And then Catherine did something.
Mm-hmm. What did Catherine do?
We did something together, is really what happened. So we've talked about this. I happen to have this. So Dr. Carmody pulled out this book as we were trying to figure everything out, which is a book on the human body and the human system. And then almost like someone reads you a bedtime story, he opened to the section on the lymphatic system. And with utmost patience, explained to me what the lymphatic system was, how it operated, what it did, how it was in the body. And it was, I'm giving one example of what happened over a series of many, many different appointments, where Dr. Carmody would ask pointed questions, and then he would give space for the exploration to see about coming up with the answers. And I'm a professor, I'm a researcher. I like crossword puzzles. You know, just point me in the direction, because in the beginning, it was a morass of confusion, not knowing what direction to go in. So having a direction really allowed, at least from my point of view, for me to delve into the research. And I identified some resources, some doctors. The challenge was they were in Europe. So I traveled to Europe because that's where the answers were, or anything that we knew about it. And so I would go to Europe, I would come back, we would sit, and little by little, over a period of really a few years, we pieced together this puzzle and came up with lipedema. And the key, there was one moment in July of 2012, I remember it. At the time I was seeing a lymphatic therapist, and she handed me, put me on a pneumatic pump, which actually gets the lymphatic fluid moving. And I said, is there anything you can give me that I can look at? And so she gave me Professor Foldy's book. I just happened to have it here.
I love that you have these books right here. Yeah.
Yeah. She gave me Professor Foldy's book on lymphology. And this was in 2012, after I'd been trying for several years. And as I went through the book, you know, I came to a section like so many women and saw this. And I went, oh my God, those are my legs. Mm-hmm. And I was like reading the chapter on lipedema. And then, as life would have it, as Dr. Carmody mentioned, I was going through a whole battery of evaluation tests. And we had done something called a lymphoscintigraphy, which is a nuclear medicine test that tracks the lymphatic system. And Dr. Carmody called me that night. It was late. It was like 9:30 at night to say, you have a compromised lymphatic system. The test is showing that this is in fact something. And I said to him that I had just discovered lipedema, and I thought it had something to do with what was going on. And his response was, so I'm telling my primary care after years of trying to figure out what was going on, that I have a chronic disease that's not going to change, that nobody knows anything about. And his response was, how exciting. And I'm like, what? He said, we've been looking for an answer, and it looks like you've found some information that we can explore. This is exciting. And in an instant, what could have been devastating turned into an exploration of curiosity, because I had someone who was, we were doing this together. I wasn't alone. And that's what made a difference. You remember that?
I do remember that. I remember that night, and I remember the sense of relief. And, the precision with which you described it and the accounting of how it accounted for your what you were experiencing and what you looked like, as a patient as well, in terms of the lymphatic system. So, it had all the ingredients of it, and it was something that, in the United States had been suggested in 1942. Two people at the Cleveland Clinic, in fact, said, this is an entity. And they published several papers on it. And nobody in the United States, to our knowledge, had picked that up. But the Europeans, all of a sudden, we understood, were way ahead of us. Mm-hmm. In understanding this, and Foley being one of the people that that couple was way out in front of everybody else, and there were treatments that they were trying, and we knew nothing about that in the United States, so I might say that problem still exists with a large part of the medical community. In the United States, so that if you go into your doctor and say, I just heard something and I think I have lipedema, you may still get a questioning face and certainly not a recognition of what the entity of lipedema is. So that's still unfortunate, though lots of progress has been made in the United States also, so that people are more knowledgeable about it here. And, have some idea of what it is.
I want to just shout from the rooftops for a minute about the inspiration I'm drawing from your story. Because, in tech, innovation, right? It's constantly, what's next? How do we get there? We don't know. How do we bring the information together? And the pull through I see here, my own experience as well, is someone living with lipedema. But even just thinking about, there you are, Dr. Carmody, the person in power with the expertise, I liken it to, the tech leader who is promoted because they have the technical chops, right? They know what they're doing. Then here comes this person who has a lived experience that wants to bring something forward. And you could have easily been like stuck in your ego and be like, it's not that, and go lose weight. And, but you were like, let's get curious. And that moment when Catherine says to you, I think I have lipedema, and your response is, yay, now we know what we can, let's go figure it out, right? When you think of innovation, the curiosity that you expressed, and also what you did to inspire her through how your reaction, like leaders, power, words we choose, the energy we bring affects our teams and our organizations. And so Catherine's saying, oh, well, I thought I might get really depressed right now. And you didn't say it, Catherine, but the potential could have been like, I guess I'll just go curled in a ball. There's nothing we can do. It's like, oh, no, don't mess with Catherine and Dr. Carmody, because they're going to go change the world. And the reason I want to bring this forward so much, yes, I have a personal experience with lipedema, and I am so grateful for what you have all done. I also know there's a lot of other women out there that we need to presence this for. And I think this actually can inspire leaders in tech when they think about the world that we're in and how to unlock the wisdom in their organizations and give themselves permission to not have all the answers and to join together to be curious about how might we, whatever they're trying to solve. So when you think about the state of the world today and the United States and the knowledge, I will say my personal story is I too went to my primary care. I had read a research report that I had gotten and I handed it to her. I was sobbing, like, I think I have this. And she had never heard of it. She didn't understand it, but she also, I'm so blessed to have had a doctor who was curious enough to ask me, so what do we do? So here I am, the knowledge worker, if you will, going, here's the next steps, boss. And the doctor going, okay. So she started ordering stuff based on what I read. And I think the thing that I want to presence is one of the things I think we need to highlight for people is what is lipedema? Because we're dancing around it, but we need to define it. And I thought I might start with a picture and then you guys can explain it, right? So this is something I shared publicly. In 2017, I had lost 82 pounds. And I was like, yes, I beat my burnout. I've figured it all out. I'm ready to go. And in 2022, I look like this and nothing changed. And I'm like, how can I possibly look so differently when I know what to eat? And like, you can see my arms. I'm like, oh, look what that looks like, right? Look at the cuff on my wrist. You can't see my legs here, but you get a sense of it, right? So some people might just say, well, Lisa, stop eating the Cheetos. What's going on, right? But I can tell you, I know what to eat. I know how to move. I've had a lifetime of this. So could we just presence, like, what is lipedema? Mm-hmm. So that everybody who's leaning into this might understand what it is and how many people it impacts as we navigate these parallels of leadership and then also partnering to unlock the wisdom inside our systems. So what is lipedema? How would we describe this to the world?
Do you want to try this, Catherine, or do I?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So I think it's important to know that as far as a physician is concerned, that the observations that people make are both, you know, in the story as well as, you know, in the examination of a body. So, what the story is here is that there are parts of my body that are getting large and disproportionately large, so that if I had regular obesity, so lipedema is a type of obesity. We really have to categorize it as a type of obesity. And we now know today that there's probably 150 or more types of obesity. Everybody thinks that obesity is one thing, but in fact, it's many things and has a different genetics through it all. Lipedema is a surprisingly prevalent type of obesity. And, you know, the number of people it affects it could be as high as 1 in 8 or 1 in 10. So that if people are carrying the diagnosis of the disease of obesity, 1 in 10 of them might in fact have this as the, and so it must have distinct features. And the distinct features are where regular obesity tends to be in the center of the body, this is in the periphery of the body. It's in the arms, it's in the legs, and it is symmetrically in those. That is, what is on one side is on the other side, and it tends to be larger toward the center part of the body. So the upper arm tends to be larger than the distal arm, and the leg tends to be big as far as the thigh is concerned, but not so much at the level of the ankle. Although there is a type of lipedema that can be very large on the lower leg and moderately large on the upper leg. And then the other things are the hips and the buttocks are also large. The patient experience of that is it is painful. Many people feel that to touch the tissue, to touch the fat, or to squeeze the fat is a very painful experience. So having a blood pressure taken is no small task for people with lipedema. Most of them will experience it as a very painful experience. To be examined is a painful experience. So that when I'm examining the leg of somebody with lipedema, that's not a comfortable experience. It is tolerated, and people have high levels of tolerance. They lived with it for so long that they tolerate a lot of pain. The other thing about this fatty tissue is it tends to be congested and feel congested, so that at the beginning of the day, you have one feeling of congested that actually progresses during the day. And that congestion is also associated with, I can't move well with this amount of congestion. And it's even more painful if I'm congested. If I decongest, if I get less, so what is happening? What should have happened in the body is when the blood vessels had delivered nutrients and fluids to the area around fat cells, that fluid should have been picked up by the lymphatic system and delivered back to the central circulation. And it's not. There's an overabundance of fluid in the space around the adipocytes or the fat cells. And the result of that is congestion. And these fat cells are not sitting there enjoying it. They have the capability and are in fact creating inflammation in the tissue. They have a means of saying to the rest of the body, I am not happy. I am not receiving enough oxygen. I am not receiving enough nutrients. And I am unhappy and I am inflaming. So the vessels that here we are, congested, pained, ever increasing in size, seemingly endless in terms of its ability to get bigger and to become more symptomatic. So it's progressive. And here's the misfortune that is also true, is that people with lipedema can also have what we would term as usual obesity. So their central body can actually have obesity. Normal people with lipedema alone have almost a sparing of their chest, breasts, abdomen. They're not particularly big. But if you have that combination of both lipedema and other types of obesity, then that area can be large. People with lipedema also describe bruising. So it's a very complicated presentation. It can look like, to a physician, especially if you also have complicating obesity, as just common obesity. But in fact, it is disproportionate fat distribution. So this bad environment that these fat cells are in caused them to get bigger, and therefore the fat structure and tissue to be bigger, to be more demanding, and to be hard to reduce by normal interventions.
Yeah, I'm watching Catherine and I nod because it's like, yep, got that, got the t-shirt, check, right? I really appreciate the explanation for people, because while I was living it before I understood what it was, and Catherine, I want your story here, but I had a hard time walking upstairs and I would just shame myself, like, oh, you know, if you lose some weight. I remember when COVID came out, I was short of breath already. And one of the signs of COVID was shortness of breath. And I was like, oh my God, I have COVID. But what was happening is my lipedema was exacerbated through my menopause hormone surge. And I didn't understand it then. So I was constantly thinking I had COVID because I didn't understand it. Catherine, what's your experience living with lipedema, so we can presence this and educate and inspire people to take action? What's it like for you?
Yeah, the first thing is after this evening in July of 2012 with Dr. Carmody and having some research and direction, First of all, like you, I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I can just remember, like a mantra, I kept saying, it's not my fault. You mean it's not my fault? Mm-hmm. I've spent 60 odd years blaming myself and feeling like I'm doing something wrong and there's something else at play here. And in fact, we use that as a tagline in the very beginning. It's not my fault. And there's something about just that single act that seems to open up space for something else to cogitate. Because learning about that was, all right, well, how do I feel? I do have pain, very bad pain, when I go to have my blood pressure taken. Mm-hmm. And I never understood why. You know, there's just so many things begin to make sense when you have a name, when you have an idea of what it is. But, and I have to be a voice for this. We are fat phobic. And it is I think myself, it's one of the last collusions that everyone agrees on, that fat is terrible because of the misnomer of controllability. In the literature, it talks about stigma. It talks about anti-fat bias. There's a lot of research done as to implicit fat bias, which is you're not consciously aware of it, but you're behaving from a place. They did a study with kids. The kids were 4 and 5 and 6 years old. And in this study, the kids were given choices of drawings. And without exception, the kids preferred the thin drawings. And they said, oh, no, not the fat. And that's, you know, so it's so inculcated in our culture. And so to think that you can go to a healthcare environment and not encounter it, we just encounter it. And, you know, and it's hard not to, because I know when I look at them in the mirror, I have it myself. You know, for my entire life, I was blaming myself. And I had lost and maintained 140-pound weight loss until I hit perimenopause. And it was at perimenopause that all of this started with Dr. Carmody, because that's when I started to go in. And it was like, I'm in perimenopause. You know, I'm having all these symptoms. My hormones are all over the place. And I started to get larger and larger, and I was gaining weight back, even though at the time I was weighing and measuring my food on a low carb diet, because I did that in the context of a very structured food plan that I loved. I mean, I was on it for 27 years. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And it stopped working, and I couldn't figure that out. And so that's the mystery that so many of us sort of go round and round and round. Now, I want to say, I also have had a tendency in my life to overeat. I mean, that's also part of my story. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from, you know, overeating in earlier years to not overeating and gaining weight anyway, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I have something to say, and I'm trying to find my words real quickly because I really want to presence what I want to. Here's what I want to say. I agree with you about the society's view on weight. I've experienced it myself. I'm at the point now where when I get in an airplane, I need to fly first class so I can fit comfortably in a seat, right? And you saw the picture of all the weight I lost. It was messy for me to try and still run my business, be in my body, and resent it all and be so overwhelmed because I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like leaders, thinking about your workforce and engaging your teams and your people, There's an obesity epidemic here, okay? Whether it's lipedema or something else, you got a large population in your organization who are uncomfortable in their bodies, feeling crappy about themselves because what society says, beating themselves on their own, probably not calling their doctor because they're too busy in back-to-back meetings to have a conversation. And that's real, right? And so whether or not we're talking lipedema, obesity, or just in general, an inclusive workplace, there's so much I've become humbly aware of what it means to be in this world with a body with limited mobility. And so I appreciate you presencing it so much, Catherine, because I'm in the middle of it and it might be the rest of my life as I uncover and relearn. But the it's not your fault part for me, I think is why I've even been able to talk about this and to invite you all into conversation, because I really thought it was my fault. And I think my doctors thought it was my fault. And so you two together as walking together hand in hand, I don't know, what do you know? I learned this, how about you? Okay, well, oh, wait a minute, we figured something out. To now be in partnership as you're spreading the word and raising awareness and hosting events and running talks and going for grants and shouting at the rooftops, right? I think one of the questions I have is that, you know, Dr. Carmody, you inspired me. You had a quote about, you were talking about, not here today, but in a conversation we had about, you said something like, you made me, you demanded it, you can do it, you can get what you want. And you were talking about when you were retiring, how your patients were like, please don't leave because we feel safe with you. And I know that you really truly believe that Catherine's efforts and research really did help you become a better physician.
Right.
I heard you say this. So can you talk about that for a minute for the leaders thinking about, I should know it all, whether or not we're talking about obesity or not, what's the power when you join and you unlock the wisdom? What do you want to say about that?
So, I mean, this was, in the first part of my career, I would say that I needed to get the patient's story. I needed to make a diagnosis and then tell them what to do. And by the end of my career, I said, that's inadequate. The first thing that you are referencing is the fact that anti-fat bias is experienced or practiced by 70% of physicians. So when you're going in with extra weight, they're already saying it's your fault. Get a hold of yourself. And now we know recently, in the last 10 years with obesity, that that's not true. That obesity is a disease. Just as lipedema is a disease, obesity and lipedema is an obesity, but obesity is the disease and the patient has no choice. No one chooses to be obese. Genetically, it is determined that you probably will become obese. If you have lipedema, it's determined that every time your estrogen environment changes significantly, menopause, menarche, childbearing, you are going to gain weight in that changed estrogen environment. You have nothing to say about that. You have to react to it. And that you're actually going into an environment that has a pre-prescribed reaction, which is saying you're doing something wrong. They don't recognize that you have a disease. So in the next 10 years, I hope that actually the fact that this is a disease will become clear. And I think that will be more, but what you're up against now in this day, in this moment, is actually being blamed. And the other thing that happens is what you both have alluded to is you blame yourself. You take the blame, people are blaming you, and then you actually internalize that and carry it as self-blame. And what that does is undermines you as a total person. You become less of yourself because you are in this state of self-blame, and your ability to actually move forward is undermined by self-blame. but it's prevalent. So, you know, to go forward and to say, what should we do now, or how do we see this, is another point that we're at that is not an easy point. Yes, there are things to do about lipedema that actually control it, but there is a lot we don't know about obesity, where we think that it actually has a heavy genetic base. And family history really helps us understand, taking a broad view of many lines of your inheritance. You probably have inherited from some, and there are a lot of genes that are on the block for possibly causing lipedema, none having been particularly identified at this point. So you really don't have sort of a genetic way of into this. But we know that the abnormality is too much fluid around adipocytes or fat cells. Too little nutrition, can you believe that, in fat cells? An incompetent system for draining fat cells. So all the things that help the body become smaller, the circulation to become more efficient, is the direction that we're going. But the question, this is the big question. If I sit across from Catherine and I try to understand what to do, and I have some little idea about what to do, I know that when we talk about what to do, that I'm the person in the room with the least idea. You know, this became clear to me through my career, that if I actually went to the patient and said, and I would say, this is what I understand, what do you understand, this is what I would do, that the patient's accounting for the understanding and what the plan was, if the patient actually produced the plan, they had access to their emotional state. They had access to their mental state. They had access to their physical state. And all I had is a story about those, but I actually did not have the fine-tuned ability to measure it all, my whole self, and actually say, from the view of my whole self, what would I choose to do? So the wisdom is in the person who has the disease. And so what is remarkable in this, I think in this moment, is since we only have a limited intervention, the interventions that need to be refined are the ones that the patients discover, and we can multiply over all the patients. So in reality, that's what happens in science, is that somebody is clever about understanding some physiology. And we understand a lot about lipedema, but we don't understand how to actually make it better. Though the ways of doing that have been articulated, there are many more ways that are being used by inventive patients who figure it out. And it has an important implication. Not only does it help you become the agent for your own health that you are naturally, but you're the best one. You're as good as it gets. And if we have a lot of patients getting together and telling their story of as good as it gets, we have wisdom. We have knowledge that the medical profession doesn't have access to, except in their relationship to their own patients. My patients would come back to me and they will have discovered things. And it will be, you know, all I need to do is congratulate them. Because, you know, and Catherine's a good example. You know, the beginning of all this is the wisdom of Catherine, based upon her special abilities and her perspective and the fact that she existed in that body.
It's so, there's so much to unpack here. The pull through for me, the question I want to ask you, Catherine, is through your experience, what was it like having a partner who didn't have all the answers, but also trusted your process and was led by you in this journey? Because what you have unpacked and who you are has actually had a ripple effect. The reason I can ride my bike right now, I attribute to the two of you. I was in a scooter at the grocery store. I couldn't walk. But what happened was you all share your wisdom, and I see things, and I watched your documentary, and I read all the things that happened. And all of a sudden, I figured out how to help myself, and I got really curious about my own experience. But Catherine, you inspire me every day by how you show up with this and what you share. So with what Dr. Carmody just said, can we talk about it through your experience too, and presence, what that's like and what matters in this conversation?
So it's interesting, Lisa, because I have the same I, we, us that you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the beginning, it was me trying to figure things out, but I had the partnership with Dr. Carmody, which gave a whole different security, a foundation, because I used to call Dr. Carmody my dashboard. I'm a tech. I'm in high tech as well. So I would always go back and say, okay, I'm resetting my dashboard. I have to know where to go next. And that's how we would do it. But the we came from community. And what happened is very quickly, I got an invitation from a small group in Birmingham, England, that they were having a gathering in November of 2012. So this is a couple months after, you know, we were exploring it. And I remember walking around Fresh Pond here in Cambridge with a friend of mine saying, they invited me to England. I can't go to England for the weekend. That's ridiculous. How can I go to England for the weekend? So needless to say, I went to England for the weekend. And there was a group of women. They had just launched a survey that was within the UK, where they were asking the important questions. And it was a group of about 50 of us. And it was the oddest experience, because I've been in a lot of community environments and I'm heart-centered, and I felt heart-centered, but this group, I felt I had found my tribe. These were, you know, these women reflected back what my experience was. And so I'm still friends with many of the women that I met there. And together we started an ongoing conversation about all of this. I ended up going to England numerous times and then connected with the we in Germany, because a lot of the doctors were in Germany. And so I have to be honest, you know, I figured, well, if I'm going to England for the weekend, I have to, you know, Dr. Carmody laughs at me because I'm so pragmatic about things. I said, I have to come back with something. So I took my camera and I told everyone I was making a documentary movie, and I interviewed everyone. And I didn't know how to make a documentary movie, but I learned. And hired people and did everything. And so it was people's stories. So I would ask people their story, and I would hear the rigor that people, that women would bring into their exploration, the commitment that they would bring, the frustration at not being able to have answers and not knowing what to do. And in many cases, not finding healthcare providers that could meet them and work with them. Mm-hmm. And so then it wasn't about me anymore. At some point, it's just not about I anymore. And it becomes larger than that. And I sometimes think I was crazy, because I can't tell you how many times it felt like I was at a dead end and there was no place to turn. And it would every single time at that point, I would say, okay, if I'm supposed to do this, it'll happen. And I often talk about it. It was like Moses in the Red Sea. You know, I'd be there and it would be no way to go forward, and it would open up. And then Dr. Carmody and I met regularly during all this time. Like, I would go overseas, I would come back, I would say, here's what I learned. Look at this, what do you think? How can we fit this together? And together we started really our own research project. It was our own, you know, it was an N of one. I talk about N of one. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. And right now, it's still very tiny, given that we have just enormous figures. You know, when we've done it out, there's 17 million women in the U.S. alone that most probably have a component of lipedema. But we have about 30,000 that regularly get our material and participate in our different workshops and seminars. And what we do is we just raise awareness and we offer support, encouragement, knowledge, and connection, and encourage everyone to listen to their bodies. Because as Dr. Carmody said, and I watched him, you know, do it with me, but also with his patients. We had a retirement party for him. He retired October of 2019, so a few years ago. And to hear his patients, one after another, get up to say, he listened, he asked, we figured it out, and I'm healthier because of it, consistently. Mm. And so it makes a difference. And then if you do the US, which is the global community, we're really looking at a system. So many of the women that I've talked to, I've gotten so many phone calls with women sobbing, having left their doctor's office, being told they were fat, that it was their fault, you know, all of the things that we know happen. And one of the things that I am committed to bringing in is an understanding, because our doctors are caught in a system where they're told they have 15 minutes. I mean, you cannot do this in 15 minutes. Dr. Carmody never did 15 minutes. The office people used to put up a sign saying how far behind he was. And I can remember waiting in the waiting room once for 2.5 hours to see him. And they came out, they were all apologetic and everything. And I said, mm-mm. He's giving whoever's in with him what he always gives me. Whoever's he's seeing needs this. So there's that understanding. And I think that's the thing, even in high tech and even in leadership, that we need to bring is a sense of compassion and understanding that we're looking at systemic issues, and that that is where the answer is. That's where we can find a way. And I believe that's true with lipedema. We're looking at a complex systemic issue. And in order to understand it, it's like you need to have what in systems thinking they talk about the helicopter view. You need to see all the pieces and how they fit together, like a complex puzzle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what Dr. Carmody refers to when he says, you know, the patient has the wisdom. So every patient is a piece of the puzzle. And if we can get all those puzzle pieces talking to each other and sharing experiences, we start to put the puzzle together and we start to be able to see what the pathway is to a cure. Because I'm committed that we're going to come up with a cure.
a time when there's a cure, right? This is why I wanted you here. This is why I wanted you both here. This conversation is so rich. I think one of the things that's standing out for me when I'm hearing both sides of this experience, this journey together, you know, we work with a lot of organizations inside, and there's like women's groups or certain racial groups, you know, Black coders in tech, right? Or women returning to work. There's all these employee resource groups sprouting up inside organizations now. And I think it's part of this like consciousness that's rising around the wisdom is in the groups. And right now in the world, it's like, everyone get back in the office. And I've been shouting at the rooftops, let's be really clear why, and let's create an environment when it makes sense. And let's also be curious about what we're asking of people instead of just like, well, we used to do it that way. And you both always inspire me because I have the lived experience of having lipedema and the lived experience of being, you know, a leadership development expert and a podcast host who gets to have fabulous conversations. And I'm a lifelong learner. That there's such an overlay through this lens, which is the wisdom is in the group. The wisdom is in the system. It's in the system. So if we can be the guides and create the space to open up with curiosity, what becomes possible? And I think that's how innovation happens, how cures happen. And I just really, I don't think I know how to express my gratitude for you because I have such a personal connection to this topic. But I also know how much inspiration anyone listening is going to draw from this and whatever's going on in their life. So I think one of the questions I think that could wrap it up for us when we think about this, because I would love to do this all day long, but we know that we have ways to reach to you and learn more. But why, I really want to know your why. Why did you say yes to this interview? Why is it important to be here today, right now, talking about this? I'd love to hear from both of you. Why is it important to have this conversation right now?
Catherine, please go first.
That's such a big question. My why is because it's somehow tied in with my purpose. On a personal level, they say your mess is where you have the most power. And I've dealt with this for 74 years. And, you know, on a personal level, I'm incredibly committed to coming up with solutions because of the pain that it caused me. And, you know, it's like if I can make a contribution in any way, this is the contribution that I have to make. On a much more complex level, the thing that I've learned is such compassion for those in the healthcare system, for those in leadership roles. For those of us who have an expectation that there's going to be a magic bullet that our doctor or our boss or the CEO of the organization is going to, you know, come and say, okay, Bing, you're whole, do this, you're good. And I think I personally feel like a voice for the only way we can do this is together. The only way we can do this is with understanding and respect and a sense of, I was just teaching about empathy and compassion in one of my college courses, and I do an exercise with walk a mile in someone else's moccasins. We need to encourage from one another to understand in a very complex system how the other is being challenged and how can together we can pivot, we can change that, we can find the way. And when you talk about innovation, I believe that's it. Because, I mean, doctors don't go into medicine to hurt their patients. That's not what they're doing. They don't go through medical school and internship and residency and 8 years of, no sleep, a lot of them, to come in front of a patient and say, okay, how can I hurt you today? No, what they want in the very deepest part of who they are is to be of service. And I think that understanding and that awareness begins to shift the story that we tell, the narrative that we're living.
Well, Dr. Carmody, Catherine went first. How do you follow that?
I ask her to go first again.
Catherine, that was very inspirational. And I really appreciate the lens that you took us from, from your heart to the world.
Right.
And I also know that leaders and doctors, I myself have been frustrated with both, thinking, don't you get me? Can't you see what I'm up against? Don't you understand? And really your reframe about, what drives them and what their purpose is and why they show up the way they do. I think it's really helpful for all of us to reset. And so, Dr. Carmody, why was it important for you to, why did you say yes to this interview? What's important for people to know?
I almost start, I think that, so in practice, I have some idea about practice and I know that 15 minutes isn't enough. And people would say to me, you have to see more patients. So the numbers weren't right. But we would talk about so many things during the visit that the billing was right. It was as if I had seen three patients because I had that many problems. So I would constantly argue with them that I'm just choosing to actually not have three visits with this patient, but one visit, that's the equivalent of three. So then we can get a lot of work done. So that was my, and they liked me and hated me because I was screwing up the statistics, but I got bonuses every year. So I think to me, my excitement is about the us. And what one can get out of the us. So I think that scientists are working hard in trying to understand obesity, the disease of obesity, and the disease of lipedema in particular. I believe that. And that they are going, within their limit, they are going to come up with something that is important and are coming up with something important, And so the understanding is flowing ahead. In the meantime, if the practitioners were exploded to all of us, then we each have that small idea that we worked out in each day of our lives of how we deal with this. And if we shared our successes and how we got to our successes, what feeling of community that did we need to have to actually be successful? What idea of our own spiritual nature did we have to actually be successful? So any individual aspect or a sense of being in community makes you smarter because it's filled with ideas. And there's ideas that you can even try. But more than that, that will stimulate you to see things even better. So some smart person is telling you about a system that they use to take care of themselves or that they tweak to take care of them. Then you are going to use the same tweak. And because you are there with all of your spirit intelligence, your emotion, your practiced abilities, you're going to make it better. So I'm interested in sort of knitting together in a platform where there are multiple voices and therefore multiple sources of wisdom and multiple stories of success. And we need to harvest them. And we will have in retrospect an idea of how the disease acts. Because if we can feed to the scientist, if we act this way, things get better. And we can tell you that over hundreds of people. So I believe that the power, is in the wisdom of somebody's invention in their own home, but shared with a community and partnering into an us.
I wish that I could be here all day, because the I, we, us pull through that we all have in common, that we've uncovered in conversation, it's so inspiring. I don't want to stop. And yet, I do want to make sure that our audience knows how to get more of you, how to learn more, where to go, what to do. I'm always talking about it, but Catherine, why don't you tell the listeners where you'd like them to go to explore this, learn more, share, and understand, grow? Where do you want to send people?
So, lipedema-simplified.org will give you a lot of information. I'll say we have three major events in a year. We have a springtime event that's coming up this year, March 31st, April 1st and 2nd. We have a Lipedema Awareness Month. We usually do what we call a boot camp in June. And then in October, we have a larger conference event. They're very community oriented. We do a lot of what Dr. Carmody's talking about, where people are sharing within a context of information and knowledge that's shared. We have speakers come from all over the world, some of the top in the field. And so that's three big rocks. They say the big rocks. The little rocks are, we have free webinars, we have a community-based group, we have classes, we have all kinds of written material that can be helpful. Because when you first hear the word lipedema, and it's complex and you don't know, you know, most people don't have the language yet. I do want to say one other thing. Not all with lipedema necessarily have obesity at the beginning. Obesity is something that often grows with lipedema, but in the very early stages, it looks like fat legs and butt and skinny top. So there are women who are very normal looking in clothes, but when they take their clothes off, their legs are crazy making for them. So
why I love the wide leg pants my whole life. Yes. And I never knew why I loved wide leg pants. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and wore boots.
I've never worn a pair of boots. That's my dream. Yeah. How about we take that down to reality? Right. Yeah. Catherine, I really want to make sure we're going to put all that in the show notes. It's important for people. Yeah. I've had the honor of being on stage and sharing my story. I appreciate all that you do to bring community forward and to unlock this wisdom. And Dr. Carmody, I just want to give you a chance to close us out here with an inspiration, a thought, one small act that has such a ripple effect. What would you like to leave the audience with? Either a reflection, a question, a call to action. What shows up for you?
What shows up for me is that in your person, in your being, in every part of you, there is a wisdom that will direct you to the wisest thing to do in the moment, but also to hopefully have a natural tendency towards sharing and receiving care and concern from a community, and also to join together all the wisdom, all the people that are all wise, and to create something that is truly fantastic.
Well, from the bottom of my heart, thank you both for giving me your time. Thank you for your own journey, because it's had a profound impact on me as an I, and the we, and the us. I feel it all day, every day in the work I do and in the life that I'm leading. I'm honored for this time together. Thank you for pulling this through. And don't forget, everybody, the wisdom's inside you, right? Let's tap into it and share, and we can grow together. Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you so much, Dr. Carmody.
Thank you, Lisa. It was excellent. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Kat.
As always.
Thanks, Dr. Carmody. What a journey.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, everyone. Thank you so much. What a conversation. You all just experienced something that not many people get to do. And that is thank the people that have helped you get your mobility back and that are actually taking the time and bringing the heart to actually work on curing a disease. This episode means a lot to me for so many reasons, as you've heard. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you my double dog dare now that you've heard this episode. I'd like you to just put your hand on your heart and think about the people that you lead and the people that you love. And knowing what you know now about lipedema, perhaps there's someone in your circle that could benefit from this episode that you may want to point to the websites that Catherine mentioned, or perhaps even invite to the conferences that she runs. Perhaps you want to share it with a leader who you know is really struggling because they don't have enough time in their day, and they know that there's so much more that could be done as they're leading their team, but they don't know how to do it. How inspiring was it to hear Catherine and Dr. Carmody talk about unlocking the wisdom in the system and actually doing it differently for innovation purposes? And finally, I think one of the things to think about is, where are you not in tune with your own body right now? The world's upside down. People aren't checking in on their bodies. Burnout, as we know, is rampant. And as much as I did have a burnout story and I got in tune with my body through burnout, I lived with this disease for 54 years before I figured it out. And I had a lot of unconscious bias about myself and my own journey. And I invite you to just think about, scan your body for a minute. Where does it hurt? What's not right? And have a conversation with your doctor. And the thing I want to say about that, Dr. Carmody inspired me when he talks about this too. When you're bringing your problems up, that the doctors in the systems today, and even the leaders that we are all working with, the time is so limited that if you just bring problems, it's just more press and demand on the person that you're meeting with. We talk about a lot in leadership, bring recommendations, not just problems. What Dr. Carmody talked about today, he was talking about Trevon Shorter talking about aspirations. So if you're going to meet with your doctor because you got headaches a lot, the aspirations are, I'd like to have a life where I have less headaches, right? For me, if I had shown up in my first doctor's appointment, you know, I used to be able to bike ride and be present with my family, and it was really good for my mental health. I'm struggling with walking right now, much less bike riding. Can you help me? That's a whole different conversation with my doctor than just, you know, what's going on? I'm really scared something's wrong, right? So the aspirational piece, I really want to just plant that seed here as we wrap up today's episode and you reflect on everything we talked about, from the patient journey to the doctor's constraints, right? And how to change the system and unlock the wisdom in your system. What's your aspiration for how you live in your body and how you lead in your life? Whatever that is, I invite you to share that with someone. And if you're scanning and you're thinking something's up, make that doctor's appointment. And if there's someone in your life that you think may have lipedema, please share this episode. I'd be grateful, and I think the world would be a better place. Thank you so much.